Good to see everyone back tonight, and we're going to be studying in Psalm 119 this evening, so we invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 119 as we continue to work through this psalm in thinking about the Word of God. This is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It has the longest number of verses within the psalms. It's divided into 22 different parts. And this division is based upon the Hebrew alphabet. And so each section begins with a different Hebrew letter. And so you may see in your Bible that it says Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion, Het, Tet, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, etc., etc., etc. And these are the Hebrew letters. And each section of that particular Hebrew letter in the Hebrew language, each line begins with that letter. And so this is a poem that emphasizes the value of God's Word. And it's as if the psalmist is saying, every word, every letter of the words praises God. Every letter of the alphabet praises God. The Word of God is described in different words in this psalm. We read that it talks about God's laws and His testimonies, His ways, His precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, truth, and His Word. And all of these, of course, are great synonyms for the Word of God. The psalm demonstrates great respect for the Word of God. And we need to have respect for God's Word as well. And join the psalmist in praising God for His wonderful Word. Tonight we're going to look at the fourth section, which is labeled Dalet, and that is verses 25 through 32. Psalm 119, verses 25 through 22. And the central theme of this particular section is strengthen me according to your word. And that's verse 28. Strengthen me according to your word. And the Word of God can give us strength if we will let it. And the Word of God is able to help us in time of need and sorrow and difficulty. And that's partially what this lesson is about tonight. But the Word of God does three things as we look at this section of Psalm 119. We notice that it strengthens us inwardly. And that's the first point that we're going to look at. Secondly, it strengthens us when we're weary. And then third, it strengthens us as we are faithful to the Lord. And so I know that everyone needs strength from the Lord. Everyone needs to be stronger in the Lord, including myself. And so as we think about this section of Psalm 119 tonight, I hope that you'll be looking for ways in which God's Word can strengthen you. And you'll be thinking about some of those thoughts. First of all, God's Word strengthens us inwardly. Look at verses 25 and 26 and 27. Notice what the psalmist says. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. So three thoughts that the psalmist is bringing out to us here. First of all, there is, in verse 25, this desire to be revived inwardly because of his soul clinging to the dust. And this may be, you know, when we're inwardly, we're near death. We just want to give up. And we don't want to go on. And sometimes we face situations in life like that. And the psalmist describes feeling like that. He describes himself as cleaving to the dust. Have you ever been so down that you just wanted to get on the floor and stretch out in the middle of the floor and cling to the dust? That's kind of what the psalmist is getting at here. And it's a deep weariness. It's a deep inward situation where he is very much depressed about his situation. And so he asks God to quicken him or to revive him, to make him alive by his word. Revive me according to your word, he says in verse 25. And God's word has reviving power. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, which says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing, even through the dividing of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the intents and thoughts of the heart." Do you remember that passage? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God has the capacity to change us if we will turn to it and listen to it when we are in difficult straits. You know, there's been times within my life when I've felt like this, felt down, felt depressed, downhearted, and I've opened to the Psalms, perhaps such as this Psalm or some other Psalm, and just read through God's Word on some of these things. And as you get into it, as you think about it, as you see how it applies to your life, it provides some comfort. It helps you to understand you're not the only one that has gone through this. It helps you to understand that God loves you and He cares about you because of what He says within His Word. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," or that makes alive. "The flesh profits nothing." And then He says this, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." And if we will let God's words speak to us, they will give us life. They will quicken our spirit. They will make us alive inwardly. But we've got to apply them to our life, and we've really got to believe them that they will make a difference in our life. And so when we are inwardly near death or depression or something like that, the psalmist says God's word strengthens us inwardly. But also when we're seeking, when we're looking for answers, think about what he says here in verse 26. "I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." You answered me. The psalmist here is setting forth this idea that I've declared my ways. I have shown that I am looking, and now in response to that, you have answered me. And so when we're inwardly seeking, God answers and gives us what we need, but it's in His Word. The psalmist, what did the psalmist have in mind when he said he declared his ways? Were these sinful ways? Were they wandering ways? Were they faithful ways? Whatever they were, he expresses a desire to seek if his ways are right. And he finds the measure of that rightness within the Word of God. He expresses confidence that God hears him. And he expresses his desire then that God teach him. And that's what the Word of God can do for us when we're seeking. It can give us answers. It can provide solutions. It can help us work through difficulties and problems within our life if we will let God's Word speak to us. Now, a lot of times, we don't do that. We simply sit back and try to solve the problem on our own, you know, without letting God's Word guide us and without letting God's Word direct us. And that's always the wrong thing to do. And we always end up in more trouble or more difficulties than we would have if we'd have let God's Word rule within our life to begin with. And so the psalmist is really opening himself up to God. And you see, that's what we need to do as well in thinking about the problems that we have within our life, the declaring of our ways, when we're seeking for answers. God has those answers, and He can help us in that regard. Think about 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," or complete, "thoroughly furnished," that is, completely furnished, completely prepared, completely equipped, if you will, "for every good work." 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And then listen to Psalm 119, verses 98 through 100. "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for thou art ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." When we keep God's word within our life, we can be we can have the information that we would seek for throughout history if we will simply listen to the Word of God. And so God's Word strengthens us when we are inwardly seeking. And then God's Word strengthens us when we find challenges within our life inwardly. Look at what he says in verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate upon your wonderful works. The psalmist wants he wants understanding. He wants clarity. And you know, sometimes in life it's very difficult to get clarity. It's very difficult to get understanding because of the things that we have brought to the situation within our own mind, and that clouds the issues, and it prevents us from really understanding the situation like we should. But here the psalmist opens himself up again to God's Word, and he says he really wants to understand God's Word, and so that God can share with him the things that he needs to know. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Make me understand it. And whatever I need to go through, whatever comes my way, for me to understand it, make me understand it, so that he can have that knowledge of God's words. And then he says, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. We need to understand not only the theory behind God's word, not only the teaching itself, but how it practically applies to our lives. You know, we each have relationships with other people. We're each trying to do different things. Some of us are husbands and wives. Some of us have children. Some of us have parents that we're taking care of. Some of us are trying to get along with neighbors. Some of us are going out in the community and seeking to make friends and all of these things. But God's Word can help us with all of those relationships. And God's Word can provide solution to all of our problems if we'll trust in Him. But we need to trust in Him. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, sanctify your hearts, Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that will ask you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. And Paul writes in Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so there are times when we need to give an answer. There are times when we need to interact with others. And God's Word will inform us so that we'll be prepared for those times. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Now look at verse 28 and 29, and we see here that God's Word helps us inwardly when we're weary. So the first point is that God strengthens us inwardly. And the second point is God strengthens us when we're weary. Now look at what he says here in verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. You know, heaviness, that's a strong word, heaviness. Have you ever picked up some weights and tried to move them around and you have a dumbbell or something like that, it's 10 or 15 pounds. Anything that you try to do while you're carrying that is made that much more difficult by the weight that you're carrying around, right? And if you were to pick up, you know, say 20-pound dumbbells or 25-pound dumbbells, it would be even more difficult because of the heaviness that you are carrying with you. Well, sometimes we have spiritual heaviness, and these are burdens that we have placed on our life in some way or another. And we let these burdens overtake us and weary us and slow us down so that we don't get out and do the things that God wants us to do. These burdens, these heavinesses, these wearinesses, they can interrupt the joy that God promises in His Word for us to have within our life. And we won't have the peace that passes all understanding because we've adopted these weights of one kind or another. Sometimes these burdens are so great that we have placed upon ourselves that we feel like we would just melt under the pressure, you know. And these are great burdens. And it may be a burden over which we shed many tears. It is a great weariness to have such a burden upon us. But God's Word can provide strength and comfort if we will let God in and let Him do the things that He needs to do in order for us to get rid of those weights, in order for us to get rid of that heaviness that's upon us. God's Word brings comfort to those who are under financial burdens because God is going to settle all accounts one day. God's Word brings comfort to those who are undergoing family crises because there is wisdom to solve all those issues in the Word of God. God's Word brings comfort to those who are suffering because of death, because God promises that He will take care of the saints. And God's Word brings comfort in all situations if we will let His Word bring that comfort. Whatever the burden may be, there's really no burden that's too great for God. And we can find that comfort and the release from those burdens within His Word. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here. Notice Psalm 119 and verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me, or your word has made me alive. That's verse 50 of this same psalm. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes this: Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us an everlasting, listen, consolation and good hope through grace, do what? Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Comfort your hearts. Establish you. God can do that if we will let Him do it. James says that this same word is able to save our souls. James chapter 1 and verse 21. But then the psalmist turns to a familiar situation that we all understand, and that is the situation of having sin within our life. And so often it is the case that it is sin within our life that is causing our deepest burdens and our greatest wearinesses, and we're not dealing with those sins as we need to. In verse 29, he says this: Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. Remove from me the way of lying. What is he talking about when he talks about the way of lying? Well, there's all kinds of different lying that we can do in this life. Of course, there is the kind of lying that we do to other people, and that's certainly something the Bible teaches that we should not do. But the most damaging kind of lies are really the lies that we tell ourselves, not being honest with ourselves enough to accept God's truth or to accept the reality of things or whatever it might be. Sometimes we call it being in denial, you know, of the way things are. Sometimes we talk about understanding what we need to know to live in the present, you know, as opposed to building future visions of life that are not realistic. And so all lying can come to us, and we can do it to ourselves very easily. And the psalmist is praying to God to remove from him the way of lying. And that prayer really is for him to accept and to understand reality as it is. And that's something that we need to understand and accept as well. You know, sometimes we don't do that. And when we don't do that, it causes problems in our hearts and in our lives. And it causes weariness and it causes heaviness and all kinds of things, because things are not going as we think they should go, you know, or things are not going as I want them to go, or something like that. And that can cause other problems. Well, we need to stop telling ourselves things that aren't true and start living according to what's really real in the world. And the Word of God can help us to do that, because the Word of God is honest with us, like in this passage right here. And it tells us, you know, that it's the way of man is not in himself. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. And so we need to get out of that situation and get into God's Word, so we'll know what's really real, and we can live in a way that brings blessing and joy and contentment and satisfaction with everything that's around us. But until we let go of our preconceived notions and of the lies that we tell ourselves, that's not going to happen. Well, the psalmist asks for God to help him with this lying, to remove from him the way of lying. And he says, grant me your law graciously. The word graciously here means in an abundance, as a gift, you know, freely, openly, generously. That's what the psalmist wants, to have the generous knowledge of God's Word within his life so that he can really see things the way that God sees them. You know, we talked about that in a lesson not too long ago from the Beatitudes when we studied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the pure in heart are the ones who see things the way God really sees them and understands things the way God really understands them. And that's something that we can work on in our life, and that's something the Word of God can help us to understand. Do we desire to be removed from sin and delivered to God's Word for relief and comfort? Notice Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation just means to lie, okay? That's what it means. Without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are there that go in thereat, because narrow is the gate and strait is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. God's Word provides the remedy for the sin problem. And so strengthen me according to your Word when I am in weariness, whether it be from a situation that is depressing me, or whether it be from my own sin. God can strengthen us when we are in weariness. But then finally, God's Word can strengthen us when we're faithful to Him. And even when we are being faithful to Him, we still need strength. We still need guidance. Look at verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. And then verse 32. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. And so it's almost as if the psalmist has been struggling with the decision here. You know, in the earlier part of the song, he's clinging to the dust. He's found heaviness within him and looking for strength. And now he's come to a decision point, and he has said in verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. So now, in faithfulness, God is going to strengthen him through his Word. Truth is really the only thing that will guide us in this life and will help us. And we want the truth to be within our life. Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so by going to Jesus, we can learn the truth about ourselves and about God and about what we need to do to live for God and to serve God and to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And Jesus has given us his word today, the Bible. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to inspire the apostles and prophets to write the things that they wrote. And Jesus was the one who was guiding the prophets in the Old Testament and inspiring them to write the things that they wrote. And so all of the words of the Bible are Jesus' words. They tell us about who he is, and they tell us about him. And so when we trust in him, then we can know his words. And the great blessing that comes out of that is we can be free from all of these burdens, these wearinesses, these depressions, all of these things that the psalmist is struggling with. God's word provides freedom from those things. Remember what Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32? If you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so Jesus wants us to be free. He wants us to have the truth within our life if we will give it to him. And when we have this word within our life, we have the truth within our life, it provides the confidence that we need. Look in verse 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. And he's not going to be put to shame by the Lord. Because if we believe in the Lord and trust in his word, we will not be put to shame. The psalmist speaks of this faithfulness. He prays that God will not put him to shame. This prayer reflects a confidence that he has in God. And when we turn to God's word, we can have that same confidence. In Hebrews 3 and verse 14 we read, for we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 4, Luke wrote, and he said that to Theophilus, he said, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein you are instructed. And John said in John 19 verse 35 these words, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knows that he says true, that you might believe. So you see, God's word is tried and true, and we can put our confidence in it, and it will make us confident in relationship to God. But then finally, in verse 32, we need to trust in God's word for encouragement. I will run the course of your commandments, and you shall enlarge my heart. This is not a fatal illness, you know, like we think of having an enlarged heart today. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. He's talking about really being beneficent, really being generous, really being a kind and loving and grateful person. All the wonderful qualities and attributes that we desire to have within our life. And he sees these qualities, he sees these attributes, he sees them as being attainable through the study of God's word. And we can have that as well if we will turn to God and his word in our study of it. I will run the course of your commandments. I love that expression, you know, running the course. What does that mean? It means going through all of the obstacles, going through all of the challenges, going through everything that we need to go through in order to hear and learn and apply to our lives the word of God. I will run the course of your commandments. Are we going to do that within our life? Run the course of God's commandments. And that is certainly something that is picturesque, and we can all see obstacle courses within our minds. And it brings to my mind, you know, the something that's kind of a fad nowadays, I guess, but the American Ninja Warriors. Anybody ever watch those sometimes on TV? And these guys are out there, and they're, you know, going through all these different challenges and obstacles, and also they can be crowned an American Ninja Warrior, you know, at the end, and receive the prize, the $1 million prize. Well, we're working for something far greater than a $1 million prize, aren't we? So we should be willing to run the course of God's commandments within our lives. James says in James chapter 1, verse 25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his doing. And that's what the psalmist is talking about, really practicing God's word, really making application of it within our life. Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, Luke 11 and verse 28. And he said in John 13 and 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And in Revelation 22 and verse 14 we read, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so what a blessing it is then to live out God's Word within our life every day. You know, God's Word strengthens us. It strengthens us inwardly. It strengthens us when we're in weariness. And it strengthens us so that we can be faithful to Him. Do you need to turn to God's Word tonight in order to solve some problem or some difficulty within your life that you're having trouble with? Do you need the prayers of the church in that regard so that we can help? Do you need to sit down and study God's Word with someone? We're happy to do that with you this evening. If you've been studying the Word of God and you know what you need to do tonight to become a child of God, then we invite you to make that decision this evening. Become a Christian this very night. And we will be glad to help you do that. Whatever your need may be, why don't you come now and make it known while we stand and while we sing.